Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Really quiet week for comic reading this week, man. I've been putting in so many hours at work, I haven't read a lot. But I just want to tell you how these rabbit holes work. Okay, so I haven't been able to read lately, and I've been so tired that I haven't been waking up in the middle of the night to read. But earlier in the week, I started to read. I saw my Marvel Unlimited. I like to read like 6 to 8 books of Marvel Unlimited a month, just to make sure I'm getting my value's worth of books. And I said I hadn't read the Infinity, not the Warlock and the Infinity Watch in a while. And I was looking at one of the covers, and I was like, man, I think I want to get back into that. So I started to dig into Warlock and the Infinity Watch, and it was getting really interesting. Like I was love the Tom Raimi art, and I liked this really subtle issue they had where they had come back to Earth after Warlock had saved the rest of the Infinity Watch from a crash, and they crashed into Monster Island where the Mole Man is. And the Mole Man was like, you know what? I'm lonely. I need a company. It was a really unusual issue, and I need company to keep me here. And you guys could stay rent free. And this place has a lot of stuff, like tunnels and stuff. And you can hide from humanity if you need to. And he didn't really have like a motive, but I was like, this is interesting. And then I've always been a sucker for Moondragon. I don't know why. I was like, this bald, sexy woman in a green outfit, skimpy ass green outfit. And she has the mind gem. And she was really fascinating. But at the end of this issue, it was Warlock and the Infinity Watch. It was an early issue. I'd have to look up which one I read. Let's see. I haven't read this much, so I should be able to go to Facebook and find it really quick. I didn't post too much. Guess I did. Okay, so it was number 7, I believe. Warlock and the Infinity Watch number 7. And it was called Where Monsters Dwell, the title of the story, which is interesting because that they have a title called that. But we have Drax, Gamora, Pip, the Troll, Moondragon, stupid Drax, by the way, and Warlock. And then there's a mysterious character who he gave the other gem to, and they haven't revealed it yet. But anyway, Thanos comes and shows up, and he's like, "Hey, there's a danger coming, and it's coming from Magus, your evil part that you separated, because I guess in Infinity Gauntlet he separated his two selves from Magus, and I don't know what the other entity. He took the good and evil out of him to make himself like neutral, I guess, when he had the Infinity Gauntlet or all the gems. And then the Living Tribunal put him on trial, and he says, you have too much power. What are you going to do? You have to give up some of that power. And that's when he said, F you, I'll give my gems out to this Infinity Watch. And he really didn't think about who he was giving it to. He just gave it to these people. So, it was a little bit of a rabbit hole. I said, this is really interesting. I'm going to keep reading. Why is Thanos there and what's going on? Well, the next issue had was really like drawing me in because Thanos was there and I didn't know why he was there. And he was talking to various members of the Infinity Watch and he's like, why did he give it to Pip the Troll? This guy's an idiot. But then he was talking to Moondragon and he's like, man, he was like probing her, trying to get questions out of her. And he's like, man, she's really suited to have the mind gem. Like, she's a perfect match. And then he got into it with his daughter Gamora, which was really cool. They had like this really cool fight scene. And Gamora actually kicked his ass. It was like a really good fight, but he's like, hey, you can't kill me, blah blah blah. And and that's when he revealed why he was there. And that led me to, it was weird, there was no intention for me to get into a crossover, but it led me into Infinity War. So I'm 3 issues into that, because the end of that, end of number 8 of Warlock and the Infinity Watch, it says continued in Infinity War number 4. So I said, oh, I'm gonna go back and read 1 through 3, and I read 1 through 3, and then I want to read 4, so then I'm gonna be in sync. But in reality, the series is really interesting. It's a doppelgangers. Magnus is causing these doppelgangers on Earth, and there's this sense of urgency. What I liked is it made it look like Mr. Fantastic beat his doppelganger, but he didn't. And then he like called upon all the heroes. We have this serious event we need to take care of, and he was acting really weird. He was like, I'm gonna wait until every hero's in the room. Like, he couldn't start without Spider-Man and Hawkeye. Like, he was waiting for him to come, and Wolverine. It's because he wanted to literally blow up everybody at the Tower of the Baxter Building. But luckily, Invisible Woman saved the day with her invisible force shield. But you have that going on, and then Galactus is out there. He knows something's going down, because Eternity is like in this coma state, which is not a good thing to be, and it's involving the Living Tribunal again. And he knows he needs help to try to track down what's going on, because he's trying to stop the Magus as well. And he needs the help of Doctor Strange, and he's got Nova, which is not the Nova, it's the female Nova that's one of his heralds. Happened in the Burn Run, I believe, where she became, Frankie. I can't remember her last name, but Frankie became a herald of Galactus. Silver Surfer was in this, and then he pulled out Doctor Strange, and he's like, I need your power to help us find what's going on. So you have that faction that's trying to find out what's going on at the Infinity War. And then you have the heroes who are trying to regroup and trying to figure out what they need to do. And they call upon like mysticism as well to try to track down the Magus. And they get Dr. Druid, Scarlet Witch, Shaman, and who was the fourth one? Agatha Harkness. So they got desperate, but they got into their magic realm, and they said, with the four of us, we barely get on the outer ledge of the power of the Sorcerer Supreme, but we'll be able to do what we need to do. And then you have the Infinity Watch that's there with Thanos, and Magus has he has his own Thanos doppelganger that's there with him. So you have all these different things, and everything's about to collide. So it led me down that rabbit hole. And then coincidentally, so I was reading that on my iPad at night, and then coincidentally I bought Transform Avengers New Avengers Transformers, and I don't know why I bought that. I just was at the shop, it looked interesting, it had Tyler Kirkham art, and I've never liked the Transformers, but I figured, what the hell, it's only 4 issues. Crossover with IDW. I'll see if it gets me in the Transformers. And it was an interesting series. I was entertained. I still don't like the Transformers, but it had a really cool thing where Iron Man had this ar armor. He was able to get into it. He couldn't keep it charged very long, but it was in Transformer size. I like that part. And I like how Doctor Doom was kind of like playing both sides to save Latveria, because the Megatron had put this device in Latveria that was going to cause a war, a nuclear war with their neighboring country. And I can't remember what that country is. And that's how the New Avengers got involved. But it was pretty interesting. It had to do with Spider-Man blood. They captured Spider-Man, and they had some interesting concepts. I liked it. I liked the Avengers more than I did the Transformers for sure. But I had also, I already had this book, but I picked it up just because it was there, and I have a hard time resisting Ultraverse books, but it was the Avengers Ultra Force crossover. And interesting enough, it kind of led to the Infinity Gems again. It was fascinating. There's a prelude which I dug out of. I have a long box of Ultraverse books that I didn't own that I still have to read. And I know where that box is. So I went upstairs and I dug out the prelude and then the continuation of this. But I read this first, not knowing what I was getting. And I was really surprised because as I was reading Avengers No Surrender that I had talked about recently, I told you my love for the Grandmaster and his games, like his Contest of Champions games. And that's what this turned out to be. It turned out to be a Contest of Champions of a bet between him and Loki, where Loki chose the Avengers and he chose the Ultraverse. And if Loki wins, he gets the seventh Infinity Gem. If the Grandmaster wins, Loki already has the Mind Gem, and he'd have to hand over the Mind Gem to the Grandmaster. And it was this little face-off of tournaments. You know, you had Thor versus Prime. You had Captain America versus Hardcase. You had Topaz versus Crystal, because she was an Avenger at this time. You had Black Widow versus Siren. We had the Ghoul versus the Vision, my favorite battle. That was my favorite because it really got deep. And that one seems like the weirdest. We have Contrary versus Star Fox, and that was weird too because they play off of people's emotions and stuff like that. And they both turned on their pheromones and just ended up kissing. So there was really no battle. There was just like sex. Let's fuck. Thor defeated Prime eventually. Prototype defeated Iron Man, but it was a weird battle because they had no armor at first, and then Tony got into the prototype armor, and the other guy got into the Iron Man. I can't remember his name. He got into the Iron Man armor, and he sort of, even though it was kind of a duel, prototype sort of won. But he's a meta-human too. Like he channels his powers through the armor, so he had an advantage over Tony. And then there was like a tag team match, which the Avengers clearly won, at least in my opinion, because Crystal just snuffed out Topaz. And even though Siren was going to defeat Black Widow, there was a tag made, so it was like a tag team match. The Ghoul versus the Vision was fantastic. And you got to remember, the Ultraverse had a cartoon. The Ghoul was part of the Ultraverse. And so was Topaz and Prime and Hardcase, and you'd see all those characters in the Hardcase cartoon if you weren't familiar with the Ultraverse. But the Ultraverse was Malibu Ultraverse was purchased by Marvel Comics, but then they did some crossover with it, and during this time they let Black Knight go into the Ultraverse, Juggernaut go into the Exiles. A couple of things happened, and then you had some crossover books, you know, with Spider-Man Prime and a couple other things that happened, but they never really did much after that. Like I don't know what the deal was, but they never explored it beyond when that final procurement went through. Kind of like they're doing with CrossGen. They acquired it, but they did nothing with it. It's kind of a bummer. But anyway, that's the Ghoul one was really cool because I'm like, this is a weird matchup. Like all the other ones, you know, you strength and you kind of had all these matchups that made sense, you know, armor versus armor. I was like, the Ghoul who's dead, who could bring the dead back to life, and then you have him fighting the Vision, who's an android, and the whole thing is it was they're not alive, so they could fight each other. But it was pretty cool because the Ghoul won, And what he ended up doing is the Vision was kicking butt. He was just raising the dead. The ghoul was raising the dead, and he was trying to take him down with numbers. But the Vision's like, "Hey, I could become intangible. I could use gravity against you." He was like, "You're not gonna defeat me." And then the ghoul raised the exiles who were all dead at this time, and had the exiles. And then the Vision's like, "Wow, I'm fighting guys with powers even though they're dead. But I still think I could defeat him." But then the ghoul raises Wonder Man, and then the Vision froze, and that's how he kind of defeated. And you know the history between Wonder Man and the Vision, so it was a really smart move, and I like the way they played that. And the creative team really wasn't. Angel Medina was kind of big at this time. He was drawing that Infinity stuff. But it was Angel Medina and MC Wyman. The art wasn't his best. We had four different inkers. The writer was Glenn Herdling. Never really heard much from him. But at the end of this, all the gems are taken away. Even though Loki wins, Cersei shows up and she says she has the seven gems and it's within her. And she says, well, she kisses Loki and says, here's the seventh gem. Well, the seventh gem comes, and then you see another being called Nemesis who has all the infinity gems on her hat now. So she's got like an infinity hat. And it says to be continued in Ultra Force Avengers by Warren Ellis and George Perez. So it's interesting that the creative team seems to get bigger, or at least bigger names when it goes from Malibu. I mean, this one, Avengers, in the title first is Marvel Avengers, and then the other one is Malibu Avengers because Ultraverse is the headliner. So we'll see which one's going, but man, this was fun, and it kind of led me. It's weird how this channel just coincidentally led me into a lot of Infinity Gem stuff, but I really enjoyed it. Like Warlock of the Infinity Watch, that's has the Infinity Gems, but I didn't think it would spin me up into an event, and it did. And then just coincidentally led me into Avengers Ultra Force, which I really enjoyed. So on that note, I will go to see if I have any questions. And so I have a few questions, and one of them was from Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit. And I had recently posted like about a Kickstarter that really worked for me, and I think I talked about it in a previous Geek Brunch. It was, and he was like, "Well, how do you decide what Kickstarters to buy or what to do?" And I don't like Kickstarters. I'll be upfront; they're way overpriced because you're paying like something that you pay for previews for like $2. You're paying 10, so that's already $8 loss. And then you're paying for shipping and handling, which is another loss. And if you go through like DCBS, the shipping and handling is almost negligible for, come on, Harley, for the size of the order. But so I don't, I used to like what Kickstarter started off to represent, and then it just got real expensive. But I do support friends, and friends do Kickstarters, and yes, they cost way more than I think I'd like to spend on their stuff, but I still do it. And while I'm in Kickstarter, I sometimes randomly pick stuff. Like, I'll pick two or three things, and sometimes they turn out to be gems. And then there's the what I call the emails from the previous Kickstarters that I always liked. Always like Palmiotti stuff. And you don't see those in previews very often. Sometimes you'll see a one-shot solicited through Image or something else, but very seldom do you see them put out. So I keep my eye for Palmiotti and Justin Gray. He does stolen stuff. I mean, solo stuff. And Then there's stuff like the Not So Golden Age or whatever that one is. I just randomly picked it one time and it was good, so I ordered the second one. And then there was this other one that I talked about, which really won me over, and I'll continue to support that one because it was really good. But I don't like to support, if I think a Kickstarter has a high probability of being solicited in previews within the next year or next 2 years or next 3 years, I will not do it. If I think that it's not going to be solicited in previews, it has a higher probability of me selecting it, because none of the reward tiers like to get a physical copy are way too expensive. So I try not to do it. So that's one of my rules. Try not, if I think something's gonna make previews, I don't care who it is. I won't support it. I usually support friends. I usually only explore Kickstarter if I'm going in there for another reason, and I'm a repeatable guy. If I had good experience with previous Kickstarters from a certain person, I'll continue to support them if the topic or whatever they're soliciting interests me. So that's how I choose Kickstarters, and it's a hard thing to do because it's so expensive for a single issue. Like, to spend $10 or more on a single issue, I don't care. It's just way more expensive than I'd like to spend. And usually their incentives are not great. Like, Andrew Sharpar is a friend, and he's got good incentives because you could, like, pick certain tiers where you could say, okay, draw me a sketch of Harley or something, or put me, like, those kind of tiers are to me worth it. I like when they have like some artistic tier where you can pick what you want them to draw. What, or I think Alan, New Mutant friend that we have, he had a Kickstarter for a Power Principle, and I got some pages from his first comic book. So, things like that were kind of worth it because they were original stuff. And the best one that I did, which I'll never get, and their book still hasn't come out, was a Robert Atkins one. And because they had one tier, and I just happened to get it, that was like, you spend 20. I think it was $30 and you get $60 of DCBS credit. So I like made money on that one. And that was the best Kickstarter that I've ever done. But that was a really good question. So thank you for that question, Drew. And I'm probably going to go back into the Kickstarter one to see if I see any others. But usually it's a link to some kind of friend or somebody I've met. And usually they have to have a tier that I find acceptable for a print copy. And then I ask myself, do I think it's going to be in preview? So I got burnt by one Kickstarter that just really pissed me off. Is you support this Kickstarter. I'm not going to mention names, but you find out that people that didn't support their Kickstarter at a con got the book before his Kickstarter people did. And to me, that's a no-no, an absolute no-no. And then not only that, but I had to pester this guy to mail my product. Why should I proactively have to do that? And I'll never support that Kickstarter person again, even though he's a professional. I just won't. It rubbed me the wrong way. And there's been other ones that have rubbed me the wrong way, and I'm done. So I'll stick to what I like, and I'll pay those extra bucks for friends, but I'll still pick a tier that I think is reasonable for me financially, and I think I'm getting some kind of value. 'Cause most of the stuff, like, you throw in a card or a sticker, I don't personally care about that, or a poker chip. Like, what am I gonna do with a fucking poker chip? I don't know. I don't play poker. So it's things like that, like what am I gonna, if it's art, it's a little different. That's a tier I prefer to get a sketch, a signature, some extra thing. Posters, don't really care. Like, where am I gonna put poster of something that I don't really care about? It's not, I mean, if it's a poster of something, I usually only want to put up posters of the mainstream stuff because I love these characters or I have a history with the characters. So, yeah, that's a good question of Kickstarter. And Kirk Spencer asked, what do you hope from the Black Hawk movie news? I hope it's World War II. I hope we see the war whale is the final thing they have to fight. I hope I see something like Memphis Belle type or any of those war fighter pilot movies, something in that vein. I think Spielberg has played in that realm before. I would hope to see the blue costumes, even though I don't know if they make a lot of sense, but I hope they don't just make them black or something like that, even though they're called Black Hawk. I hope they have that blue tint. And I hope we see Black Hawk Island. I hope we see at least five of the main Black Hawk fighter pilots. And I hope we see Lady Black Hawk, just to mix it up a little bit, and even though she came late, much later. Let's see if I have any others. I think this one is from Ronnie, of the Absolute DC podcast, the Ultra, like Ultimate Marvel podcast, Timely Wimely podcast, several of the ones that are on Nerdy Legion. And he asks, I have a question that you could put in your bank. Oh, maybe this was. Yeah, I think this was his. I didn't put down his name, but put in your bank list. Which Marvel big event do you enjoy the most, or would you call one of your favorites? I think I just answered that from Nick Wetmore. So maybe that one wasn't Ronnie. But, I had answered it and I said, like some of the earlier ones, but Crisis on Infinite Earths was my favorite event of all time because it got me in there. And then I really love the Batman and Superman events, but I wouldn't call them like big events because they don't often involve anything out of their own books. They're like mini events within their own titles. Identity Crisis. I think that one, even though it's a self-contained event, is my favorite event. I even above Crisis on Infinite Earths. I just love it. I get emotional when I read that one. I cry. So that one's a big one. And I know why it sounds familiar. Because Nick asked, what is your favorite DC Crisis story? So I think this is just overlapping. And I wonder if he was focused on Marvel. Oh, this is a Marvel big event. Which one? And I've given you DC events. I would say a Marvel event. Which Marvel event? I'm not big on the Marvel events. I like the crossovers and their mini events. Secret Wars was interesting. The first one, the second one, Secret Invasion was pretty good. Civil War, I liked aspects of it. I thought it had some pretty cool stuff. There's probably some that I'm missing that, but I like more of the events like the X self-contained events that like cross over into all the X books, or like the Spider-Man event that crosses over into the Spider-Man books, Clone Saga is one of them that I absolutely love. I like more of the mini events than the major events. The major events just seemed overwhelming, and I would include Infinity War in that. Like, while I'm enjoying aspects of it, I like it more when they focus on the Infinity Watch or Galactus, and the whole event overall is just, eye candy and so many heroes jumping around. And like, I read DC Nation number 0. And it was a 25-cent comic book. I'm behind in Batman, but I decided to read it. And there's a couple things that surprised me. The thing that shocked me the most is how much I didn't like the Scott Snyder Justice League. It just seemed like a hot mess. It's like throw Team Entropy, throw Team Mystery. Even their names are ridiculous. And it had really no depth or story behind it, and I really didn't care for it. I was kind of bummed about that. Whereas the other two stories I really liked, and now that I think about it, I like the Superman one the most. And why did I like it the most? Because I think Bendis really got it takes you back. I think the bad thing is it took me back into a place where Superman couldn't really be today, like in an office with Perry White, where a newspaper is big. You don't really see that shit anymore. Like, yeah, you have the Wall Street Journal and stuff like that, but even people. It just newspaper stuff is taken over. I mean, people rather see what's happening on media than on read a newspaper. But he really got the voice of Perry White, and it was Perry White's story, and it reminded me of actually Superman the movie. Just the way he's shouting and stuff like that. And I could almost picture I can't, what is the actor that does Perry White? I can't remember. He was a little rascal. He was Jackie in The Little Rascals. I remember shit like that. Like even yesterday, I was at the bar and they were playing. They were playing sporting events like the horse races, and they had a basketball game on. But in one of the TVs, they had the Bad News Bears, and I was just like. I can remember stupid shit like that. Like I was telling, "Hey Barb, that's Tanner. That's Ogilvy. That's Ahmad." I was like, I knew all those players from when I was a kid, and I was watching the Bad News Bears. But this brought a lot of cool memories. I don't know. I'm not caught up on action either, so I don't know like why Lois is missing. But she is missing. But it's really interesting, and they introduce another character. That's gonna like buy out the planet, it looks like. Her name is Miss Good. And I like that too because that actually happened in Superman 4 when so I don't know, I like those movies, yeah. Call it what you will, but I thought this was good. It had Garcia Lopez artwork. Really solid story. It's my favorite. The one that surprised me the most in a positive way, okay, the negative way was the Justice League. I was like, this is a hot mess. I really thought it was a hot mess. I didn't like it. I didn't even like the art, to tell you the truth, of the Justice League. It just looked like shit was going all over the place. And I didn't care for it. And even. It has like an anime aspect to it or a manga aspect to it with the big eyes. Like if they the close up of Supergirl, I didn't like. I don't like the big eyes in the art. And then there's a close up of Wonder Woman that has the same thing. I didn't care for it. The Superman one I really liked. The Joker one really surprised me in a positive way 'cause I was like this makes sense to me. Like my brain, as I was reading this, usually when I read a Tom King thing, it's like I'm trying to get into the story and I can't because his dialogue is just taking me the hell out. And this one, I was like flowing around. I was like, I had to go back and look. Is this Tom King? Is this Tom King? Why am I liking this? And it was a very simplistic story, but it was very interesting and very creepy. Very creepy. So that was my 2 cents on DC Nation number zero. Well worth a quarter, even for the Justice League that I didn't like. So if I had to rate them, I'd go 5 out of 5 for the Superman story, which is my favorite. Actually, it's the Perry White story, I'll say. A 5 out of 5 for the Batman story. And a 2 out of 5 for the Justice League. I didn't like it. So overall, I'd probably give it a 4 out of 5 just because of that third story. But 4 out of 5 is really good. For a quarter, I'd give it a 5 out of 5 just because it's so damn cheap. So I want to thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it, and thank you for the questions. I think I got all of them. I'm going to scan them really quick to make sure I did get them all. And I did. And why don't I talk about for a few minutes about comic pricing, because I was listening to Comic Talk today, and they were talking about comic pricing and, like, is comics too expensive? And yes, it really is. And I think in my mind, I buy them because I'm not spending that full price. So, like, most books that I get are 40 to 50% off at DCBS. So that makes the $3.99 cover price a little more tolerable. And I do buy the DC, like most of the mainstream DC, at my comic shop, but I still get a 25% off there. So that's still a big deal. So, like, if you're spending $4, you get $1 off. So it's like $3. It's like a $2.99 comic book. So it makes it more a little more palatable, and in my mind anyway, even though they all add up and it gets really, really high. So I think my ideal price, like when I thought comic books were, I was getting like a lot for my buck, was when things were 60 cents. That's when I was buying a lot of comic books. And that was like when I started to buy comics in bulk. I was mowing grasses and mowing lawns and getting, I'd go to the comic shop every 3 weeks, and I'd have like $40 with me just going through all the neighbors' yards and mowing lawns. And I'd be able to pick up the bulk of all Marvel and DC and even a bunch of independents that I didn't even know what the hell they were, and buy one or two back issues, 'cause back issues weren't expensive back then. So yeah, that was the price point I liked. I think $2.99 is acceptable price point, but in reality, it's really $3.99. That's what people, and I don't think lowering prices are help the situation. Like, Marvel's tried it a few times, and they're low sellers. It's like people just don't want to get the cheaper newsprint. Like, they tried it with Spider-Man, Avengers, Fantastic Four, doing the cheaper newsprint, having a dollar book, and it just didn't work. When they don't work like that, and the retailer's like, well, shit, I'm only making 30 cents on the dollar or whatever, so it's not very beneficial to them either. Like, even Alterna, they say they're doing good, but shit, they can't even crack the top 300. So yeah, 300% better of nothing is something. So if you sold 100 copies, and then now you're selling a little more, it's still negligible. But like, I applaud Alterna, but I still don't think they've had, like, other than the chair, I haven't read anything from them that's like, hey, I need to read this. Like, this is, I enjoy Tinseltown. I enjoy a couple of their titles, but they're more on the kiddie side, all ages, and I don't really care. And then some of their horror books, they're okay, but You could definitely tell, like, it was more amateurish than I'm used to. But I still all in. But that might change. I'm starting to think of a lot of things. Like, I just, not because I don't want, like, it's because of space, man. I really starting to lack of space, or either that, or I need some kind of awesome storage unit where I could just put stuff in and conveniently get to. But we'll see what happens. I think that's all I want to talk about today. I'm gonna record another one right after this, so I'll talk to you later. Bye bye. Hello and welcome back. Now we're gonna go over some of the weekly reads. Oh, I didn't total them. Damn it. Bear with me. That's 40, 47, 48, 49, 49. So, this is books for the week of July 3rd through July se the 9th of 2017. So, I read a lot of books, and it might have been because we had the holiday break. But there were 49 books that week. There was one Oni, one Image, 35 Marvel, 6 DC, one Alterna, and 5 Action Lab. So we'll start at the bottom. And there are no 3 out of 5s. They all go into 4 out of 5. So it was a good week for comics. I read Image's Girl Scout Magic Socks. This is a girl who picked up on an early in her life. Was picked on early in her life and is after the Girl Scouts for revenge. And then there's some magic socks. It was really entertaining, and the artwork really worked for this particular book. For DC, we have Our Fighting Forces, number 154. And this is the capture of a Japanese leader, and he escapes. They move him away from the facility. And this is the Losers, by the way, off the Losers trade. Move away from the facility so the Marines can attack his base while he is away. That was a Jack Kirby issue, and really good issue. Really enjoyed it. We have X-Force Volume 1, Number 4. This is a crossover with by Liefeld with Spider-Man. And Black Tom and the Juggernaut destroy one of the Twin Towers. I think it's a crossover with his book, but it's McFarlane doing the art. And I think I was reading the McFarlane Spider-Man Omnibus. Because Black 16, Spider-Man 16 is the next book where Black Tom and Juggernaut take on Cable and the X-Force by McFarlane. Art is highly detailed as opposed to Liefeld. So I guess it was Liefeld's, but why would they have put the X-Force in there? Unless I coincidentally read X-Force number 4 just to continue the McFarlane story. And one thing I noticed is McFarlane did a lot of detailed artwork as opposed to what Liefeld laid out for this particular crossover between X-Force and Spider-Man. We have Injustice Gods Among Us, Year 3, Number 11 and 12. Wonder Woman kills the Huntress with her lasso. Mxyzptlk and Trigon are tearing everything apart. Flash separates the groups into the House of Mystery and the House of Secrets. Dr. Fate, Nightwing, and Shazam banish Mxyzptlk and Trigon. That was a good issue, a magic issue. If I sound weird, it's because I'm kind of sick. Having trouble breathing, too. Yeah, Master of Kung Fu Battle World, number 2 through 4. This is the Shang-Chi. Fights his father with some new mutants he is training, and has to go through the Iron Fist and Elektra. That was a tied in with Secret Wars. I enjoyed it. We have Web of Spider-Man number 117, Amazing Spider-Man 394, Spider-Man 51, Spectacular Spider-Man 217. This is out of the Clone Saga Omnibus, and I finally finished it, but these was towards the beginning. Peter's dealing with his parents coming back with Chameleon. Is not acting like himself. Aunt May has a stroke. This is how she ends up in a coma. That brings back Ben Reilly, who was thought dead at the time. It's got Ravenhurst attacked by the Traveler as he does mind experiments with inmates, and Peter and Ben. He escapes Boone, Medea, Chakra, Mr. Knot, and Scarier. They're the Traveler's goons. MJ decides to go visit her father and sister, which they're bad relationship. And has a flipbook story, Origin of Ben Reilly. I really enjoyed this Clone Saga, and I finally finished it. And I think I told everybody it was my first omnibus that I finished, and that's not true. I forgot I finished the Spider-Man McFarlane omnibus, but it's nowhere near as big as the Clone Saga omnibus. So I felt like I achieved something. We have the Circle 1 through 5 from Action Lab Entertainment. This was really entertaining, and I was missing the first issue, I believe, and then got the rest in singles, but I had bought the trade. So the story on this is my comic shop got shipped about 25 copies of the trade paperback for the Circle, and he's like, "What the fuck am I gonna do with these?" And they said that they would ship him back his other stuff, and he could just keep this stuff at a small fee, but so he sold the whole trade for like two. I think I bought it for $2 or a buck, and there's still some there if you ever want it. But I enjoyed it. I could pick you up the trade. It's a Circle 1 through 5. A kid moves to a town where he's not welcome, but joins a group of witches. He gets beat up a lot, even though he made a basketball team. The group does spells, and each one gets unique powers. They kill several people to gain these powers, and the kids work with an old lady neighbor to take them down, but she was using him to gain power for herself. So that old woman was actually using the hero to try to gain powers for herself. We have the Bunker Number 1. This is an Oni book. Some kids go to bury a capsule in college and find the bunker left by their future selves that stated to a That stated two of them would leave the world destroyed, but will be worse if they don't continue down the path. One girl finds a letter about her uncle who used to abuse her. One of the boys becomes president. So there's a lot of interesting things in this, and I think I read a few more issues, but I never finished it. I gotta get back on that at some point. We have Batman 608 through 610. This is the kidnapping of a boy by Killer Croc. Leads to a huge mystery. Catwoman steals money for Poison Ivy. Batman falls off a building and requires surgery from a long-lost friend, Thomas Elliot. Oh, that was the good stuff. I forgot that I read that. We have Invincible Iron Man 522 through 527. This is the end of the Fraction run. The final battle with Mandarin, which leaves him mindless as Stain laser punches him through the head. Stark-led rebellion against Mandarin. Pepper finds out Rhodes is alive and in the armor. Tony decides to go off on his own at the end of the series after S.H.I.E.L.D. questions him. So that was the end of the Fraction run, and then I started the other run. Think this is Bendis. This was the last 4 out of 5. Invincible Iron Man number 3 through 14. Tony, Doctor Doom, and Doctor Strange take down Madame Mask as she was possessed. Tony sends Rhodey to Japan to find out more about the cyber ninjas. Tony is dating a new scientist, Doctor Doom. Oh, he's dating a new scientist. I have a run-on sentence here. Dr. Doom is still trying to convince Tony they're on the same team, which is interesting because he became the Iron Man later on. He hires Mary Jane to help him. First, Riri, Tony undercover trying to find out about the ninjas. People think he is missing. Friday asks MJ to, you know who Friday is? That's the computer. Asks MJ to keep running the company in Tony's absence. They defeat the villain in Japan, but she gets away. Tony returns to board to a board and wants him out. Oh, that's a board, like a board meeting. They want him kicked out of the company. Tony introduces himself to Riri. Last 2 issues dealt with Tony not being fit to go to Rhodey's funeral, and the last one is meeting with Carol at an AA meeting for the final confrontation in Civil War II. Really entertaining Iron Man. And then we get to the five out of fives. The Chair, number one, by Alterna Press. This one is probably the only Alterna book that I've completed so far, The Chair. An innocent man on death row explains his backstory and loses his friend when his cell door is shut on him. And you find out, man, this series has so much depth in it. It's really good. But the journey is really fantastic because the way they introduce it and the way things really are. We have infamous Iron Man 1 through 7. Dr. Doom takes the mantle of Iron Man. Thing is chasing down Victor through S.H.I.E.L.D. Dr. Doom is taking out Fantastic Four villains. Victor's mom is alive? Question mark. But what this turned out to be was more of a Fantastic Four book because it focused on Dr. Doom, had the Thing, Johnny came along later, and then it had the evil Reed. So you had everybody but Invisible Woman. I haven't finished this one yet, so I'm curious to see how this one goes. And I'm kind of holding off to reading Marvel 2-in-1 until I can finish this because it's like one leads to the other. So those were books from July 3rd, 2017 through July 9th of 2017. 49 books, and the top five were The Chair, number one, and Infamous Iron Man, number one through seven. I want to thank you for joining this episode. I know that I sound a little different, and it's because I have this allergy cold thing going on, and I'm really like gasping for air, but what else am I gonna do, right? You can reach me on the Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch. You can reach me at Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button, follow the episode threads there. Or the website is geekbrunchpodcast.com. And you can follow all the episodes there and leave a comment. I would appreciate any comments or questions, and I'll be glad to answer them on future episodes. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you very, very soon. Bye-bye.